Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
The elephant in the room today is the next 100 days. Look, this first 100 days of this administration has been, in every conceivable measure, a parade of corruption, of chaos, a nightmare for this country. It has demonstrated time and time again that Donald Trump is mentally unstable, that he's morally unfit, that the country, at least a large number of people in this country, voted for someone who has set us on a path of destruction. And I mean that in every possible way. He is absolutely committed to the things we warned you about. I know you get bored hearing, oh, Donald Trump is terrible and he will destroy us all and the world will burn. I know a lot of you get tired hearing that, particularly my old friends in the Republican Party and on the right. They say, oh, you're just exaggerating. It's all just this and that. Donald Trump just did in 100 days more damage to this country at home and abroad than any other president in our history. There has literally never been a period of time in which greater corruption defined a presidency. We'll start there. Donald Trump is hawking Bitcoin. His son, Uday, Don Jr., has set up a thing called the Executive Branch. It's a new service that Don Jr. provides to wealthy Americans and wealthy foreigners and lobbyists where they can pay him $500,000 to get special access to Donald Trump. Could you imagine for one moment if a family member of Barack Obama had done that, set it up explicitly, saying, oh, well, you know, if you pay me $500,000, you can come talk to Dad. Imagine for one moment that being engaged in an ongoing Bitcoin pump and dump fraud by the president of the United States would be something that no one in this country in the media blinks a real eye at. No one gives a fuck. They're just like, oh, well, you know, happened. It's Trump being Trump. We've defined corruption way down in this country. You know, there've only been about five or six big political corruption scandals in our history. There've been a lot of small ones, a lot of small ones. Like, I'll give you a small one. Duke Cunningham, Republican member of Congress from California, literally had a price list in his office for favors from lobbyists. Hey, 150 grand gets you this, 50 grand gets you that, 25 grand gets you this. He made about, I think they're $2 million off. Some chump change bullshit amount of money. Boss Tweed in New York, big corruption scandal, local. Just after just after the Civil War, Boss Tweed ran New York. He sold anything, favors, contracts, it was entirely corrupt and corrupted. The Crédit Mobilier scandal, where a railroad, United Pacific, set up this elaborate stock fraud scheme run by a couple of ex-congressmen who went to other members of Congress and said, hey, listen, if you want to buy stock in Crédit Mobilier, we'll give you either a super big discount or we'll loan you the money. That went up to the president of the United States, Jack Abramoff. Big scandal, nasty, ugly. Savings and loan scandal, nasty, ugly. All of those in today dollars, maybe 100 billion here, 200 billion there in today dollars. The degree of corruption in this administration right now is edging into the $400 or $500 billion in the first 100 days. This includes no bid contracts being given to people like Elon Musk. This includes Trump getting a deal in Qatar for the family to build a new golf and resort complex. And by the way, all of you MAGA shitheads who for years, because I went one time for an unpaid speaking engagement in Qatar. Well, you're a traitor to America. They're really quiet about Don Jr. and Gums, you know, Kuse, Eric Trump, going over to Qatar this week and getting all the money for the deal given to them by the Qataris, by the sovereign wealth fund there. Really quiet, aren't you guys? Suddenly they're our friends. Weird. But it's not just the corruption. It's the humiliation of this guy. Trump has gotten rolled time and time and time again on the foreign stage. As much as they wanted to beat their dicks and thump their chests when they had Zelensky in the Oval Office for a setup to screw him, where Vance and Marco were the side guys and Trump, you know, hit him in the back of the head with a sap, Donald Trump has become a clown on the world stage. And when the American president looks like a clown, the world becomes a very ugly circus. He has been humiliated over and over again by Putin. He has had to play cleanup on Putin time and time and time again because he is a weak, compromised man. Putin played him like a fiddle. He never, ever, one moment, not for one second, was going to do a ceasefire in Ukraine. Putin's intentions have always been the re-expansion and the reestablishment of a Soviet-style authoritarian state. He wasn't going to give him an inch. And Trump was on his side. Trump burned down our relationships with our allies, our closest friends and allies in the world, to make Vladimir Putin happy. He burned down NATO, which kept the peace in Europe and stood by us in our darkest moments to keep Putin happy. What did Putin do? Putin bent him over and fucked him in public. It was entirely predictable, entirely explicable, entirely inevitable, but it's exactly what was always going to happen. He is a weak, clownish figure. He does not understand power. He does not understand diplomacy. He does not understand American interests in the world. He does not understand foreign policy. Nothing about Trump on the foreign policy stage has made America one iota safer. The fact that Europe is now having to establish its own security structure, that Canada and Mexico are now falling into the arms of China, the Pacific strategy that America has pursued for the last 20 years to try to secure the Pacific and our trading partners and allies from Chinese expansionism is completely in shambles. When you have Vietnam and South Korea and Japan all talking to China about separate trade deals and relationships, that does not make America look stronger in the world, Donald. It makes us look vastly weaker. Now look, Trump and the nationalists around him, the Michael Anton types, the crazies, Derek Beatty's, those people, they believe in a world divided into three chunks. Putin gets Europe, China gets Asia, South America and Africa are a jump ball, and the U.S. gets North America. This could not be a more foolish and counterproductive philosophy, but it is in fact what they believe in. At least it's an ethos, as they say. The foreign policy collapse is enormous. It's important. But that foreign policy collapse is joined by an economic collapse, and I want to stay on China for just a moment. The greatest illusion of Donald Trump has always been, he's the great negotiator, he can make the art of the deal. But China is whipping America's ass on trade. The economic damage that the sanctions are causing, the economic damage that the sanctions have brought to us is barely on the radar now. The reporting period for the first quarter showed a big surge in imports as people tried to beat the clock on the tariffs. But economic growth slowed. GDP dropped. Job growth is dropping. Trump will tell you over and over again, oh, I've created $87 trillion gazillion of investment in America. He hasn't. It's a lie. Let me say that explicitly. It is a lie. Donald Trump has incinerated trillions of dollars of the capital required if you wanted to reindustrialize America, if you wanted to remanufacture in America. You know, China has had a role as the world's manufacturer for a long time now. We can argue whether that's good or bad, right or wrong. But you know what? If you want to watch a trade war where the other side has a gun with a lot of bullets in it, you better prepare in advance. You better take a lot of steps. You better do it right. Trump could not do that because he is mentally deficient. And because the people advising him, Peter Navarro, Howard Lutnick, Scott Bessent, are profoundly wrong about trade. They're profoundly wrong about the economy. So let's just say you wanted to reindustrialize America. You may know what a brushless motor is. It's any modern small electronic motor. You get pick up your drill, your Ryobi drill. It's got a brushless motor. Your hairdryer, brushless motor. Anything. Billions of applications for these things. We don't make them here. Should we? Maybe. Make that argument all day long. But we don't make them here. X-ray lithography for chip development. We invented it, but we don't make it here. So look, if you believe those things are important, and I think they are, and we should invest in doing them, a lot of ways to do that. But if you go off half-cocked, if you run into the minefield and you blow your leg off and you're dragging yourself forward, then you ought to think about waiting. Because China is winning the trade war.
We'll be right back. And now, back to the show.
In the first 100 days, Donald Trump has saved President Xi in China from political pressure. He has saved the Chinese Communist Party. They were having a real estate market crash in China. There's a wage crisis in China. There's a housing crisis in China. China is not very well run when it comes to taking care of its own people. But Donald Trump saved them. He gave them the political lifeline they needed to come back and say to the Chinese people, hey, we told you America's the enemy. We told you couldn't trust them. We told you that our global initiatives to bring economic prosperity to the world would survive the wickedness of America in that combination space of economics and foreign policy. The fact that America just abandoned USAID and pretty much any aid to Africa has opened up an entire continent for Chinese exploitation. Heck of a job, Don. Good work. Brilliant. Super. You're just a genius. The other area of corruption and corrosion in this first 100 days, it strikes me over and over again, is that we have dehumanized people in this country at a rate and a speed and a degree which has a lot of historical resonances. And I'm not going to say the H word because, you know, we always get yelled at when we say the H word. But if you snatch people off the street for no reason other than having an opinion you don't like, if you deport people without the rule of law, without due process, without habeas corpus, if you apply the Constitution like it's a Chinese menu, take some from column A and some from column B and skip the rest, you are in a country that's much more difficult and dangerous to imagine. He wants us to destroy this country by allowing him to continue. His first 100 days, you saw the propaganda puppet show at the end of the cabinet meeting, or during the cabinet meeting, end of the 100 days. You saw the propaganda puppet show. You saw all of them yelling to the dear leader that he is the tallest, handsomest man in the room, that they've never met anyone who smells better or that women love more.
He's actually doing the things that he promised that he would do. And Mr. President, it's been an honor to be part of it for the past 100 days.
Mr. President, the last 4 years, the world experienced a total lack of zero leadership under Biden. And then we've had 100 days of your leadership with respect, with strength.
President, your first 100 days has far exceeded that of any other presidency in this country ever. Ever. Never seen anything like it. Thank you.
President Trump, in your first term, when I had a chance to work with you as governor, you were courageous. The thing that's empowering this amazing group of people around this table, and you've probably assembled the greatest cabinet ever, is that this time you're not just courageous, you're actually fearless.
It reminded me of North Korea. It reminded me that in every authoritarian movement, the dear leader is placed on a pedestal. In every cult, the dear leader is placed at this level that ordinary mortals cannot understand or touch or address. There are more than 100 terrible things in the first 100 days. There are thousands. Great harms and small to the American people. I couldn't even articulate them all if I tried. I do these without notes. I don't write these in advance. Maybe I should have made a list of 100 terrible things, but then I would have had to add 100 more and 100 more on top of that, 100 more on top of that. Nothing about this first 100 days has done anything except make us a worse country. And Trump's base, the people that follow him, the people that worship him, have become worse than they were. It's kind of hard to imagine in a lot of ways. They will not admit the economic damage that he has caused and that it's coming. They will not admit the foreign policy wounds. They engage in these elaborate, Baroque, Munchausen structures. Well, you don't understand. He's got a strategy here that's going to bang this against that, and this, and then all the moving parts will come together and you'll see it's going to be a beautiful hermetic. No, it's not. They want you to think that everybody they're grabbing off the street, everybody they're deporting is a violent and NS-13 criminal, fentanyl dealer and a human trafficker, all that. They want you to believe that Kilmer Abrego Garcia had MS-13 tattooed on his fingers when it was the most obvious, shitty Microsoft Paint. They fucked up everything on doing that little scam, except using Comic Sans as the typeface. They want you to dehumanize everybody that is a political opponent of Donald Trump, who doesn't believe as Trump believes. There's a reason. I mean, disgust is a powerful human emotion. That's why Trump talked about eating the dogs and eating the cats.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
We'll be right back. And now, back to the show.
That's why Trump is always saying that these people are all predators and killers and rapists and murderers. He's done this from the beginning. He understands the value of disgust. And Democrats have always tried to be inclusive and tried to be broader than that. And I get it. I do. I understand it. It is a affirmative human emotion to try to help people be better and to believe that people have better angels. I cannot believe that, though, where we are right now. 70 million of our fellow Americans still believe that we are in an economic glory days, that this is that there's a strategy here, a purpose, a sense of order and a plan that only Trump can deliver. And it's not that I wish them harm, but I wish that reality would enlighten them as to the mistake they made in supporting this man. I think we're going to see a lot of them learning that reality in the coming weeks and months. Store shelves are about to start emptying out. I drove past the port of Long Beach last week. Ghost town. Normally, it is trucks and ships banging away. They're moving stuff in and out. Blitz tempo. Nope. Ghost town. Trade with China has dropped to nothing. Trump saying, oh, maybe you're hauling out your kids only get $2 instead of 30. Superficial. Stupid. Evil. But the impact of this on Trump's own voters is coming. I wish they were smarter than they have been about supporting a man who was going to do this all along. I wish that in the next 100 days, as the economic damage of this hits them in the face like a frying pan, that it would change a lot of their votes. I don't think it will. First 100 days is a warning shot to the rest of us. Trump will not get better. This will not get easier. We will have to work harder. We'll have to push harder. We'll have to be smarter. We have to talk about things that Americans care about every single day. We will talk about things that Americans are experiencing in their lives every single day. And look, I love punching Trump in the face as much as anybody, metaphorically, of course. But at this point, in the next 100 days, and the 100 days after that, and the 100 days after that, and the 100 days after that, we will have to fight harder. We will have to fight differently. We are not going to win this with the same old Democratic nostrums and the same old policies from the 1990s and the early 2000s. This party must have a radical transformation into a fighting party that gets where America is, not where they think it should be, but where it is. Because the things he's doing to hurt this country, the things he's doing to destroy this country, and there can be no other explanation at this point but that he seeks the destruction of this country. He will rather reign in the ashes than rule in triumph. And have to follow the rules that a normal president would have to follow is increasingly obvious to me. This 100 days was terrible. The next 100 days will be more terrible. But we, as a movement against this guy, can fight back. We can change that. And that, my friends, is the elephant in the room.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production.
Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney.
Produced by Whitney Hayes.
Edited by Riley Main.
Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/help. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
And good luck.